What's up, guys? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 18, 2018. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Gary Whitta, because it is Whitta Wednesday.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back. I was out last week because of the World Cup, so I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, by the way.
Oh, it's okay.
Things
we had,
didn't
a good
go right
run
for you, right?
That's no, but in the end, they didn't.
Yeah.
Your doppelganger, Harry Kane, won the Golden Boot, however.
Oh, he was good.
He did.
Oh,
okay. He was okay, but he scored more goals than anyone else, so he won a trophy called the Golden Boot, which goes to the top goal scorer.
Okay,
the but Golden yeah, we didn't,
Boot, I like that.
We thought it was coming home.
Yeah.
It didn't come home.
Maybe one day. Maybe next
time.
Year. Next 4 years.
I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime. Maybe. We have a good young team. Maybe in two more years, European Championships.
No,
well, the European Championships alternate. Mm-hmm. So every 2 years, there's a big international tournament. But the World Cup's every 4 years.
Okay.
So we'll see you again in four.
There's been a lot going on in your life, Gary. You got a
How's
haircut?
That? I got a hair. I got all of them cut.
You were just telling all
like the dad jokes.
I like that.
The dad
you
jokes.
Are a dad.
I got the dad.
And so then also your Tesla's on the way.
My Tesla's on the way.
That is,
there's a guy in my house right now putting in the wall charger, the wall connector that you plug it into. Very excited.
And being a dad, you got the SUV one.
I got the dad. So I get to have a midlife crisis and do something nice
and
for my family
practical.
At the same time.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
what
good.
A time
it's the,
to be
the practical
alive.
Midlife crisis.
Oh, I gotta love it. Let's get through some housekeeping here. Comic-Con is this week. Right after this show, Nick and I are about to fly down there. Greg is hosting the Marvel Games panel in Hall H, which is a really big deal. It's going to be my first time in Hall H ever.
Hall H is huge.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. That's tomorrow. And then also tomorrow, me, Nick, and Greg will be hosting the Rocket League's third birthday party at Petco Park. And that's free. You don't need a Comic-Con badge, a ticket, anything, because it's at Petco Park. You can just go, show up. We'll be doing meet and greets, playing Rocket League. Xavier Woods is going to be there, a whole bunch of WWE superstars. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then Kind of Funny is going to be streaming with Skybound on Friday morning. That is also us in WWE. Xavier Woods just really likes us, and I really like him. That makes me happy. And then Greg's hosting the Pool Panic World Championships from the Adult Swim State Park Friday night. And finally, there's a sold-out Skybound meet and greet on Saturday. We will see you guys there if you already got your tickets. If you want more info on any of this, go to kindoffunny.com/SDCC. It'll have everything laid out. Today's sponsor is Omaha Steaks, but I'll get to that later because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We come to you with all of the video game news that you need to know. You can be part of the show by going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in your questions, to try to squad up with people, or if we get something wrong during the show, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let us know what we got wrong and we'll correct it at the end of the show. You can get this as a podcast by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily on your podcast service of choice, including Spotify, or you can watch live on Twitch, or you can get the YouTube version on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's weird when you start just talking about all the show stuff, how much your brain just goes into autopilot.
Well, I was actually about to say, you are good at this. Like, there's no, for people watching at home, there's no prompter over here, and it's not on the, it's not on here either. That's you riffing.
And it's like a mangled mess. I never get it
same
order.
I was listening to it going, damn, like, he's got this down. That was like, it sounded like it was off a prompter, but it's not.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's him host paid off, I guess. Let's start off with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Sorry, I believe you misspoke. I believe what you meant was what isn't and what forever won't be. Oh, I thought you were going to clarify your earlier misspeaking.
Did I?
It's very popular right now to clarify things to say you actually meant to say the exact opposite of what you said the day before.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't? You don't follow politics?
Oh, okay.
So it took a while for that one to find.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Work with me here.
We got four
I'm
news.
I'm dying.
Four news stories today.
All right.
Baker's dozen.
Yes. I don't know.
Maybe we don't.
Who cares? Kevin, were you the whole time?
The whole time.
Waiting for me to say how many news stories? I appreciate that.
Well, that joke was dying on its feet. You were there the whole time. I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
The thing is, you can't throw serious things at me because you never know where I'm at.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean?
I now that I have this knowledge, I feel like I could use this to my advantage to have some fun with
Gary,
you.
Gary. Oh, it was a double negative. That's for the misunderstanding.
That's what the problem was. You got it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin's way smarter than me.
Tim's too gullible. That's his problem.
Oh,
all right, guys, let's talk about some video games.
Let's talk about video games.
This comes from Nick Santangelo at IGN. Microsoft will show, quote, all new Xbox hardware and accessories at Gamescom 2018. Microsoft plans for August Gamescom include showcasing all new Xbox hardware and accessories. Microsoft's Larry Major Nelson Herb announced today. The new hardware will be debuted during Microsoft's Gamescom edition of its Inside Xbox broadcast live from its booth on August 21st. Naturally, Microsoft also plans to show off some features from its upcoming slate of Xbox games and perhaps even a few surprises. Major Nelson said Microsoft's Gamescom lineup will include 25 games from various Xbox developers around the world, like Forza Horizon 4 and Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Hell yeah. Cannot wait for the game. Have you played the first Ori?
Yes, I liked it. Beautiful.
It's fantastic. Beautiful game. Very excited for the sequel. Also appearing at the show will be a PUBG mode that's new to Xbox One and State of Decay 2's Daybreak pack, which releases in September. As for the new hardware, Executive Vice President of Gaming at Microsoft, our boy Phil Spencer, said during E3 that Microsoft was, quote, deep into architecting the next Xbox consoles, where we will once again deliver on our commitment to deliver the benchmark on console gaming. Those consoles are rumored to be codenamed Scarlet and to be launching in 2020.
Let's talk about this new hardware. What do you think it's going to be? What can they do at this point within the current generation? They already slimmed it.
Yeah.
Right? They went to the 1S, and we have a 1X as well.
We have the 1X, the more powerful
one. What's left? What can they do?
Some more hardware and accessories. The easiest answer to this would be the next version of the Xbox One Elite controller.
Okay.
It's been rumored for long enough.
That's a popular controller. Crazy very, very money, popular. Right? $150, but people really love it.
Popular enough that it sells out everywhere, and it's been off shelves for the last couple of months, so that kind of shows that we're probably going to get a new version of it.
Okay.
So I imagine we'll see the next Elite controller.
But that's
out.
An accessory. I want to know about the hardware, the actual
hardware,
box.
This is like not a fun answer, but I feel like the most likely thing is going to be just some type of new skin. So far, we only have one Xbox One X.
Like a different color or something?
Yeah. We only have one Xbox One X, the black one.
Right.
So I can see them coming out
with
like... And
that's already smaller than the One S, so...
Oh, and it's insane.
There's not
much...
It's already a very... It's a very elegant box. Yeah. I love the One X.
It's beautiful. But the thing is, like, I would love a white one to go with the aesthetic of my living room, but...
Sure. But does that count as new hardware?
I don't think putting in a different color counts as new hardware.
So it's new hardware.
But then what's
it's
the, but what is there for them to do? Like, unless they actually, I mean, do they really need to make it smaller again? Maybe
I don't think they'll do that. I think it would just be a like the PUBG Xbox One X. That would count as a new hardware.
Oh, just like a new bundle? Like just if you think a skin, if they're saying new hardware, if someone says to me there's new hardware coming out and that ends up just being a reskin, I'd be disappointed.
They, in the past, have referred to the Xbox One Elite controller as hardware. So another angle to look at.
But they say hardware and accessories.
So
if a controller isn't an accessory, what is it?
It could be some other random like headset or something that they announce.
Maybe
as
they'll show that new accessibility controller that they've been working
on. So they've already shown that. So here it says new. All new.
Okay.
So that makes me think there's going to be something more substantial than
I'm curious
that I don't know.
But I'm struggling to think of something that excites me. Do you know what I mean? Like they would have to really surprise
me. The Elite controller would excite me.
Okay,
I was in the market. I got the Xbox One X, and now I'm like, I want that controller.
They could find a way to bring the price down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna.
Maybe they could get the One S down to like $199 or something. Maybe try and get a bit of a competitive edge back over Sony because they get killed right now.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe a $199 Xbox One. I think would be competitive.
A very
enticing price point could be in the mix.
Yeah. We got some questions from the readers here. Darth Paxton, or as viewers, no one's reading this show. That's the one thing you can't do with this show.
That's an old school habit that I still have, because I say readers.
Yeah.
But no, you don't get to have readers. No one's reading.
No one at all.
No one reads anymore.
Darth Paxton says, with today's announcement that Microsoft's bringing new hardware to Gamescom, like a new Elite controller that's been rumored for a long time, and Microsoft's announcement of the summer of PUBG, where one person will win a West Coast Customs bus.
What?
I like that.
Pimp My Ride, a whole bus. At what point is Microsoft's focus on and commitment to superfluous things surrounding the Xbox brand actually becoming a negative? I'm a longtime Xbox fan and was blown away by their showing at E3, but I found today's announcements more than a little bit frustrating. Xbox is a video game brand. Don't show me another $150 controller I may or may not be able to take to my new Xbox in approximately 2 years. Don't show me another video highlighting a PUBG bus that one fan's going to win. Don't tell me about the Xbox Gear Shop that recently launched. Show me games that justify my Xbox One X or any games at all. I want to see games. It'd be one thing if Microsoft was doing all this on top of a steady stream of quality exclusives, or this was a one-time thing they had in a lull on their calendar, but this is an ongoing problem. I used to enjoy Xbox dedication to the brand through things like merchandise and quirky videos, but without games, they've gone from entertaining and refreshing to falling flat to now actively frustrating. What say you guys?
Well, we said that they are also going to be showing 25 games, some of which we'll have seen before, hopefully some of which we haven't. Maybe there'll be some new announcements in there.
Yeah.
Gamescom is a big show.
It is a big show.
You can do big announcements there.
I don't from how this is being phrased, and I might be wrong. This is a perfect thing for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I don't think that Xbox has a conference at Gamescom.
Okay.
I think that this Inside Xbox broadcast from Gamescom is their announcement thing. So I wouldn't expect any new games of consequence. There might be some smaller titles, but we're not going to get a big.
But they
blowout.
Did have they as your correspondent says here, they did have a very good showing at E3.
Yeah, it was great.
But we're over that now already. No. Like, it's already like, what else
gonna,
you got?
I think they're going to follow up on that. We're going to see updates on a lot of those 25 games. But it is. I feel like it's too little, too late. It's not the right phrase, but it's disheartening to see no big exclusive coming out on the Xbox.
Do you feel like Xbox is being competitive right now, or do you feel like they're not doing as much as you would like to see in terms of games and moving the ball forward?
I feel like they're setting up a dominant next gen. I think that right now they're kind of understanding that they're losing. And we talk about this all the time. Them losing is still better than most other that any winners were in previous generations.
Right.
Like, they're still in a really good place.
Yeah.
It's just that Sony.
It's only compared to Sony that it's not looking great.
Exactly. But with things like Xbox Game Pass and the backwards compatibility and just all of the and even things like the Elite controller. I get what you're saying, Mr. Darth Paxton, about it being disappointing that we're not getting all these big exclusive game announcements and we are getting a lot of this stuff. But I feel like it's not one for one. The teams working on these type of features would never be the same teams. And it's not like the investments mean that the games aren't being made. These are totally separate verticals within the Xbox and Microsoft.
I know it's not the sexiest thing, but I would like to see some price drops. I'd like to see a revised Elite controller at maybe under $100. That would be a significant drop, because the Elite controller is good, but $150 for a controller is off-putting to a lot of people.
It is.
I mean, that restricts it to only the true hardcore. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see a 1S at $199. Again, if I'm running the Xbox division, I'd be in there with my hardware guys saying, look, the silicon price is coming down. It's cheaper to make these things than it was a couple of years. We're behind Sony. If we want to close that gap, at the end of the day, you're at Target or Walmart or whatever. You're looking at the two of them right there. If one is cheaper than the other, maybe you go with that one, and maybe that's how you close the gap. I would make some price drops. Again, not the sexiest thing, but could really help them.
I think that to address something that Darth here is talking about not knowing if the controller is going to be compatible with the next Xbox, I'd get ahead of that and try to, as soon as possible, start building the future of the Xbox brand and letting people know, hey, this controller will be compatible.
I think forward compatibility for controllers is a big... You look at the 360 controller. Mm-hmm. The Xbox One controller is basically the same controller. Mm-hmm. But you can't use your 360 controller with the Xbox One. You should have been able to.
Yeah.
And I've got like 7 or 8 Xbox One controllers. Whatever the next one is, the Xbox Two or whatever stupid name they come up with, mm-hmm. I would like to know that I don't have to ditch all those controllers.
Because
I guarantee the next controller is not going to be that different.
The amount of research into the ergonomics of controllers that both Sony and Microsoft did this generation to get the controllers to where they wanted them, it's like we've hit it. We're good. Me and Greg were talking about it. The DualShock 4 does have things that we don't need, like the touch thing.
But I like DualShock 4 way better. Just having the proper triggers and a few of the things that they did.
Way better than DualShock 3.
Way better.
And I used to hate
the DualShock 3, but the DualShock 4 I will actually use. It was that good of a upgrade. The Xbox One controller is still, in my opinion, best controller ever made.
Yeah, that's so...
There's no need to refine
Xbox One or the Xbox 360?
Well, I mean, you could say both, right? Because again, my argument is they're practically identical.
They're similar, but
they made a couple of minor enhancements to the Xbox One controller. The next Xbox controller, I'm pretty sure I'd stake my reputation on it. Why change it that much? I mean, it's already pretty great. People love it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that.
And I can stake my reputation on it because it ain't worth shit. I'm happy to gamble it.
You got Kev with that.
Happy to gamble it.
Let's see. Well, we got one more question about this. James writes in and says, next gen Xbox at Gamescom. I would have certainly said that it was too early to show a next gen console, but I think it's a really poor wording to say new Xbox hardware and accessories rather than a new Xbox bundle or edition. Because of that, and because they teased Scarlet E3, there's a part of me that wistfully wishes they would surprise us with a next gen reveal. Again, so many problems with it. So would it release in 2019? Showing new hardware 2 years out seems foolish because that'll be for Xbox One sales for the next 2 years. Not to mention what games could it be ready to show, how far out are those? But if they did announce 2019 and did have real games with launch releases, that would be a mic drop heard around the world. I don't think there is a chance that we see the hardware reveal at Gamescom. of the next Xbox.
I mean, maybe another little tease, but I don't think you're going to get anything of substance.
Definitely maybe a tease. And I feel like a smart call for them would be to almost start getting ahead of the messaging and having it be this forward thinking thing of, hey, we're not giving up on the Xbox One. We are building a future that's going to be compatible with all these games and services like Game Pass that we are investing in now. So you should invest in it now because it's only going to get better in the future. But yeah, if they were to come out and have their next gen reveal, you either do that at E3 or more likely you do it at your own event.
It's exciting to be at the point where the next generation is now at least on the horizon. Like it's visible on the horizon. It's not just like it's who knows when. Because the last, the 360 PS3 generation, as you recall, that was a long ass gen. Mm-hmm. It was really long. And this one's been, you know, I feel like this one again is not, we're way deep into the life cycle of this one. It's the right time to be at least speculating about what's coming next.
I just hope that it's, that we're finally at that point. I mean, we hit that point a while ago, the graphics. It's like, yes, PS4 looks better than PS3, obviously. But it's not like we're expecting the next generation to blow our socks off the way PS2 to PS3 did.
I think what you're going to see is if you look at Xbox One X and PS4 Pro as like the halfway step there, 4K, but still a little bit juddery at, you know, when it's really, really pushing. Mm-hmm. Like the PS4 Pro in particular struggles on some 4K games to hold. That's why you get that option. Do you want resolution or frame rate? Because it can't do both yet. I like the next one, that option is going to go away. You're just going to get all the bells and whistles, 60 frames a second, 4K. I mean, Jesus Christ, you should.
Yeah.
But the next generation ain't going to deliver 4K at 60 frames a second.
We'll see.
Reliably across the board. What are we doing? What's the point?
I actually don't expect it. I mean, when you
don't?
Look, no, when you look back at the past of systems, like it's surprising to think that Xbox One, even not every game ran it at 1080. For a long time.
Right, like 900 and stuff like that.
So it's like, I don't know that we'll necessarily see across the board 4K 60.
I hope so.
I mean, even now,
it has to hit 4K reliably. You go to you know, your big box store, you can't even buy a 1080p TV anymore. Like, I just bought the other day, because we needed one for the bedroom, 55-inch 4K HDR TV, good brand, the one that Wirecutter recommends, $380. So the price of 4K TVs is truly mass market. Seriously, get your ass to Walmart. Talk to a guy with no shirt. He'll tell you what's up.
Why is he not wearing a shirt?
I don't, because Walmart, you don't have to. No shoe, no shoes, plenty of service. It's fantastic. I seriously had a conversation with some dude with no shirt on about the benefits of this 4K TV. He was like, man, that TV can't be no good. It's too cheap. I said, no, I looked it up on Amazon. Look, it's pretty good. He's like, God damn.
You are a gem, Gary.
I'm telling you,
you are a
gem. Did you buy the TV?
I bought it. $378 bucks for a 55-inch 4K TV with HDR 10.
Wait, that's really cheap.
Yeah, and it's not some bullshit. It's the one that it's like Wirecutter's recommendation for the best cheap 4K TV.
Do you think they still have some?
Yeah, there was like a shitload of them there. Probably on Amazon.
Good.
Look it up. TCL.
We're looking to get a
the
TV
brand
for the
is TCL. It's a Chinese brand, but don't let that worry you. It's top quality.
I'm not going to lie. 55 inch. That's worrying me. That's worrying me very hard.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just don't say anything bad about China around it, because it will transmit
listening.
That back.
It is listening.
Yeah.
Next news story. This comes from Shabana Arif at IGN. Konami shuts down a PTPC remake. But this kind of has a happy ending in a way. Hideo Kojima's canceled Silent Hills teaser has had a number of remakes, but a recent example, PT for PC, by 17-year-old developer
Kimsar?
Kimsar. It's Q-I-M-S-A-R.
I don't think you would pronounce you would just say Kimsar.
I'm going to say Kimsar from now on. Kimsar was looking pretty impressive and close to being finished. Unfortunately, the project has been shut down by Konami due to legal issues, but in an update, Kimsar says that he has been offered an internship at the publisher.
Oh, nice.
Working with his EU, US, and Japanese offices.
That's cute. I like that.
On top of the internship, Konami's hooking up Kimsar with some merch and video games. Kimsar's adamant that this is a purely legal issue and that everyone at Konami loved his remake. No specific reasons given for why this remake, as opposed to the many others in development, has been forcibly canceled. Interestingly, Kimsar explains that a Konami representative told him that the publisher is expressing a desire to make games outside of the pachinko and mobile categories it's focused on and profited from in recent years. Despite expressing disappointment that his remake was taken down, Kimsar said he was ultimately thankful that it was, saying that even if it's still really unfortunate that mine was taken down when it was so close to being done, it has given me a really awesome opportunity.
I would say this is the reason why people do these, like the Uncharted fan film that we just saw the other day, and these kind of remakes. Part of the whole reason why you often do these things is to get noticed and make an opportunity. I mean, look at the guys that created Team Fortress and Garry's Mod. Those guys all work for Valve now.
Yeah.
You know, because they got what they wanted. It was their calling card.
Yeah.
It is strange, though, isn't it, how Konami is so weirdly protective about PT and have almost like kind of Stalinist style wiped it out of history, because it was the whole thing that they took it from the store.
Yeah.
Like, I still have my PS4 that has PT on it. And that's of value, because if I were to delete it,
it's gone.
I can't get it back.
Yeah.
What is that? Why were they so weird about it?
I mean, I'm sure it, and we'll never know the full story, but I'm sure the Kojima, Konami,
there was some weird Kojima animosity was going on there.
It must be that. And in terms of a licensing of Norman Reedus and everything they got going with that game, like, I'm sure it was all just legal stuff mixed with a lot of animosity.
Who is publishing Death Stranding?
Sony.
Sony, right. First party Sony.
Yeah,
first party.
Yeah. This is interesting. I think it's cool that Konami's given this opportunity, and like, I hope this works out for
him. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
like I said, I think he got what he wanted out of it.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
These things are calling cards.
What's exciting to me is this notion that they might get back into actual real video games as opposed to just the pachinko and mobile stuff. You know, we've seen in recent years Metal Gear Survive, which was a disaster, and Super Bomberman R on Switch and now on other consoles, which was fun. But not the best version of Bomberman.
So Konami is basically out of the AAA business right now? Is that right?
Yeah, with the exception of the things I just said, and Bomberman's not AAA. They've been totally out. And like, I'm hoping that we hit a point, and I don't know how likely it is, because Konami's pretty fucked, and people hate them right now.
Yeah, the Kojima thing was a publicity nightmare for them.
But I do feel like they can turn it around if they wanted to. And it's all about messaging. And this is, they're a very Japanese company, so I don't expect them to do this. But if they were to get out ahead of it and just be like, hey, look, all that stuff did happen, but we have a team of people that grew up loving Metal Gear, loving Castlevania, and they are the ones making these next games.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't worry about, like, we got rid of all these people. You know, we were moving things. We have these young new leaders that have this vision. It has nothing to do with the old team.
Right.
I feel like that's the way forward,
because Metal Gear obviously is too valuable a property to just let it lay fallow. Right. Mm-hmm. You're leaving tons of money on the table. People love it. The Metal Gear, for all kinds of reasons, commercial, creative, spiritual, you name it.
Yeah.
The Metal Gear franchise should continue on. We want new AAA Metal Gear games. But they're in a tough spot because perhaps more than any other franchise in history, except maybe Miyamoto and Mario, that franchise is associated with its creator, with Hideo Kojima.
Oh, absolutely.
So now that he's gone, the key is you got to bring in the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to be people that love it and have the best intentions for it. Because, again, you see, even with Metal Gear Survive, it's easy to fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to make these make these games bad. People are ready to hate on them. So you got to really, really crush it if you're going to bring back Metal Gear without Kojima in a way that people will embrace.
Yeah.
That's the situation they're in.
Are you a big Metal Gear guy?
I loved Metal Gear. Metal Gear 2 is one of my all-time favorite games on the PlayStation 2.
Oh, of course. What about Snake Eater?
Which one's that? 3?
Metal Gear Solid 3?
Didn't like that. I didn't like that. I didn't like any of them as much. I like them all to varying degrees. But for me, Metal Gear, you know how they say, like, your favorite, everyone thinks like the best genre, the best era of pop music is whatever was around when you were like a teenager.
Yeah.
That was the one that I played like when I was really into those games. And that's the one that stuck with me.
But do you remember the theme song to Metal Gear Solid 3?
No.
The Snake Eater?
No.
Theme song?
Was there a song?
So yeah, it was like the James Bond.
Lyrics
the
and
James
stuff?
Bond, yeah. The Snake Eater.
Oh, they did a whole James Bond vibe for it? I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways.
I had to do a thing. There was a thing on IGN recently. It was like they did a podcast. It was what's the best game on each generation of PlayStation console?
Mm.
And what's your personal favorite? No, the best is hard to qualify, but personal favorites, I went PS1 Parappa.
I love you so much.
Why not?
No, I
Why
love not? It. Why okay. Not? But I mean, just best? Or I
no,
guess
personal
it,
favorite.
But even that personal
What's
favorite.
What's yours? Like, PS1.
PS1. Man, now when you put me on the spot like that, that gets hard. But like Metal Gear Solid 1.
Siphon Filter
Final
demo,
Fantasy
dude.
7.
Siphon Filter Demo.
Just the demo. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Okay, that's a solid call. Again, that's not my cup of tea. So again, it wouldn't be my. That's why best is
you're right,
is hard.
You're right.
Personal favorite, Parappa was PS1 for me. Metal Gear Solid 2, PS2.
Uh huh.
Journey, PS3.
Oh,
good Persona call. 5 PS4. That's where I'm going.
Wow.
And I'm not dealing with, I'm not messing around with the mobile stuff.
Yeah.
But that's where I went.
Okay.
Yeah.
Solid list.
What would you do for PS3 and 4?
See, I don't know. This is way, like, I can't
is
even
this
deal.
Out of your league?
Yeah. I can't just, Journey is probably my PS3 answer. That's, that's really, really
it's
solid.
It's kind of an easy one on PS3 because Journey is just so popular.
I mean, Uncharted 2 might be up there as well. PS2, God, I don't even know where to begin. That would be,
like I said, I went with Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Devil May Cry 1
There's
is up
there.
There's
just so many great games on PS2 for that era.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto, Vice City. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
We should do a games cast. We'll bring you on.
Let's
and
do it.
Redo
Let's
it
do
it. With all
we'll do it. We'll do it by generation by generation.
Next news story. Smash Bros. Director loves the hype. This comes from Famitsu. Smash Bros. Director Sakurai said that he's really glad that the roster didn't leak ahead of the reveal because the game wouldn't have gotten the same reception, adding that he has the feeling that announcing all the characters are playable may have been a Pandora's box that could ruin possibilities for what's next in the series. Sakurai said it was the first time he ever saw such a tremendous reception for just a game promo. The uproar was beyond encouraging. To be honest, I'm really glad that it didn't leak. If it leaked that all characters will be in it, then it wouldn't have gotten the same reception. I really wanted to avoid having the work of several years get smashed by someone who wanted his little moment to brag.
That's right.
Sakurai explained that there were Nintendo employees who were kept in the dark as the game was a top secret project, saying that's why you saw cheers even from those involved at Nintendo.
That's good. It's tough to keep those kind of secrets.
Totally. And man, that was such a reveal.
What was the big nature of it? When he says all characters, so who were the big characters that were in that people didn't know were coming?
So the thing with Smash Bros. In the past, starting especially with Brawl, and then the Wii U and 3DS versions, there would be a blog that every day gets updated with something new. It's a new item or a new character or a new stage or something. And so they wouldn't come out and just say, here, all the characters from the last game are back in, and then just add new characters. You didn't know if your favorite characters are going to be back in the new version until they pop up.
So they don't, with each new generation of Smash, they don't just add. Sometimes they take characters away.
There's been about 10 characters that have gone away, been replaced by other characters, or been just little changes here or there. Some licensing things like Snake was taken out. He was only in Smash Brawl, did not make it in the last one because of a lot of the weird licensing issues. So then at E3 this year, when they did the Smash part of the Nintendo Direct, they went through and they're like, oh, we're going to show a bunch of the characters that are going to be featured in the game.
Right.
And they showed way more than they ever have before. And it just kept going and going and going. And then in the middle of it, Snake showed up. And it was just like, everyone is here. And then it went, and every character, even like obscure ones like Pichu that were only in Melee.
So if there's a character that you love from any generation of Smash Bros. In the past, it's in this game. That's fantastic.
It's fantastic. And like, it was such a moment.
And who were the new ones that were added? Who were the ones that hadn't been in the previous gens?
So Ridley from Metroid is in. Inkling from Splatoon
The Inkling kids,
is in. And then there's Daisy, Princess Daisy from Super Mario.
Has she not been in it before?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow.
Princess Peach was in.
Okay.
Daisy has not. Daisy is now in as what they call an Echo Fighter. Got some questions right in from Javier Bonet Ruiz, who says, hey, Tim, when Sakurai was talking about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate during the E3 Direct, he talked about Echo Fighters and how they're similar to an existing character. Daisy was the newcomer who is similar to Peach. My question is, do you think it's possible to have an Echo Fighter from a different franchise? For example, what if King K. Rool was an Echo Fighter for Bowser, or maybe Blanka from Street Fighter being
an Echo Fighter? Basically the same character, but in a different skin?
Different skin with slight little tweaks. So right now, the only ones that we've seen are Lucina is an Echo character of Marth from the Fire Emblem franchise. Okay. Daisy is an Echo of Peach.
Dark Pit, right?
And Dark Pit is an Echo of Normal Pit.
Got it.
And so like one move might be different from each of them.
Right. But if you could play one character, you could probably easily move to the Echo
Absolutely.
Character. Got it.
Would love to know your thoughts. I don't think that we're going to see cross franchise Echo characters, but I do expect to see a lot of them. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple third party ones. I think that it'd be really kind of an easy win for them to have Ken be an Echo character of Ryu from Street Fighter. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yep.
And I think that there's like just a lot of things like that that will probably end up happening. I'm blanking right now on other examples, but
So they haven't announced everything yet. There's still reveals to come.
So every day, just like the last two games, there's a blog that updates around 9 p.m. Pacific time on SuperSmashBrothers.com that announces something new. And I'm a little disappointed that you're not familiar with the Snake Eater theme song, because last night's reveal was a Smash Brothers remix of the Snake Eater theme. Kev, can you please play that for me?
Oh shit, sorry.
It's so fucking epic.
Asleep at the wheel.
No, I just didn't, like, this is, he mentioned it, but.
Yeah.
Then I forgot about it.
So something's really cool about Smash Brothers, Gary, that you're going to learn later this year.
I want you to educate me about Smash Brothers.
When we teach you how to play this.
It's going to be my opportunity to really kind of learn from the masters here.
Mm-hmm. But something cool about it is Smash Brothers is kind of like it's a museum of Nintendo history. And at this point, it's not just Nintendo. We're getting some Capcom, we're getting Konami. It's just video game history. And what's great about it is it's not just the characters and the stages and all this stuff. Like, they have all these like music medleys that are created that are arranged by some of the most iconic video game composers of all time.
It's amazing that there's so much in these games, these Smash Brothers games, that they can update the blog every day with something new. Every day.
And
for weeks on end.
It's not always like interesting stuff, right? But every once in a while it is. Can you pull this up, Kev?
Wonks, ready?
Yeah, pull it up. And hit that Snake Eater.
Nothing's happening.
It's playing.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, it's muted. Hold on. Guys, that was on me.
Can't get good help these days.
It is so epic.
Oh, it definitely has a Bond feel to it.
It's so fucking perfect.
Enough of that, huh?
Yeah, I'm liking it. I get it.
Actually, hold on. Keep it going. There's a guitar that comes in.
Nintendo really likes some copyright.
No, they'll be fine with this. Here.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I wanted. Oh. This is amazing. All right, pause it, Kev.
Oh, man, that shit's... Oh.
You hear music like that,
pause
you
it, but
know
keep this up.
You're playing a video game.
And not only a video game, Smash Brothers. Like, right. What they've done is they have this, like, music style that's kind of epic fight versions of other songs. And they reach out to all these composers and arrangers to take their favorite video game songs and make them sound like a fighting song.
It's fun.
So you can see here, like...
Mega Man 4.
So Mega Man 4 medley by Jun Seno, who's the guy that did all the Sonic the Hedgehog music Sonic Adventure and stuff. And then, like, scroll down, Kev. We have Yoko Shimomura, who is the composer of all the Final Fantasy 15.
Right.
And all of the
music from Zelda, music from Street Fighter,
the Kingdom Hearts
franchise,
doing Street Fighter music. So it's kind of this fun crossover of everyone doing cool stuff. I don't know. I'm a fucking nerd for this shit, and it is.
Can you play the Legend of Zelda? I want to hear the Smash Brothers remix of that, Breath of the Wild. Oh, it's just epic, isn't it?
So epic. So epic.
You're psyched for this game, I can tell.
I'm very psyched. Very psyched. Cannot wait. December 7th. Bring it on.
Are there any other links, Tim?
Yes. We may or may not get to them, though.
You guys should do, like, a Smash Brothers version of, like, League of Heels. That's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You need your own version of that, like the PAX Rumble, the Royal Rumble.
Where we all play characters.
Do it with Smash Brothers.
Yeah, the Kind of Funny World Championship. That's a good idea, Gary.
All right.
I'm liking that. Last news story of the day. It's a short one. Madden Story Mode returns. This comes from Jason Schreier at Kotaku. The entertaining and surprisingly touching Madden Story Mode will return for Madden 2019. EA said today, promising that this new version of Longshot will offer more control over Devin Wade and Colt Cruz's football quest. Fans can also look forward to the continuation of last year's first ever Madden NFL Story Mode. With the return of Longshot Homecoming. Players will have even more control of those characters with more NFL gameplay, more ways to impact the story, new storylines, and the ability to continue their Longshot journey within franchise and Ultimate Team. So what's weird about this is, are you familiar with Longshot?
I was skeptical when they announced they were bringing story mode into Madden. They did it with FIFA as well. I mean, I'm a big story in games guy. I love story in games. But even I was like, really? Sports game? Mm-hmm. Story? But they did it. They made it work. Like you said, it's surprisingly touching.
Did you play Madden?
No, I have to be honest. I'm basing my opinion on everything I read from people that did play this, because I won't get near a Madden game anymore. What they do, like, American football is not for me. But I played some of the FIFA story mode, and that was really cool.
Greg and Andy both played Longshot, the Madden mode, and they loved it.
Yeah,
like, absolutely loved it. So it's interesting that they didn't talk about this at E3. And what's more interesting is they announced this thing that people seem to like 3 weeks before the game comes out.
Right.
It's a little worrisome, I'm going to be honest. I don't think this one's going to be that good.
Well, you think it was like a last minute thing?
Yeah, I do not think that this is going to be as put together or as have as much
just
focus
the fact they've
as
announced
last
it late doesn't necessarily mean that they started putting it in late.
That's true, but I feel like that's the type of prestige thing that they want to show off if it was good.
I think if it was successful last time, they probably decided relatively early on that they were going to go again. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. We'll see.
Greg will definitely play on Kind of Funny Gamescast. It's going to be a while until we find that out, though, Gary. If I want to know what games are coming out today.
I felt that segue coming. I felt it coming.
Yeah, did it feel good?
Yeah, it felt very good.
Where would I look?
That would be the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts. That's us each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got four games.
All right.
Four video games for you. We have Animal Rivals on the Switch.
On the Switch.
We have Fear the Wolves on the PC.
Oh, I like the sound of that just by the title.
We have The Moose Man.
The titles have got me interested.
The Moose Man.
All of these
PS4,
games, just by title, I want them.
Xbox One and Switch, and then we have Vertical Strike Endless Challenge on the Switch. Now, Kev.
Yeah, what's up?
These are the links. And you know what? I just told you we might not do them. We're going to do them. Because these games have ridiculous names, and I need to know what they are.
I need to know what they are. I particularly want to know about Fear the Wolves and the Moose Man.
What is the Moose Man?
Well, there's an animal theme this week. Have you noticed? Yeah. Animal Rivals, Fear the Wolves, the Moose Man, Vertical Strike. I feel like that's the only one that's letting the side down here, but let's check it out.
Hold on.
This is Animal Rivals.
Give me a second, though. I'm going to prep them all.
Okay. Announcement trailer. 1 minute, 7 seconds. What do you got?
What we're going to do, Kev's going to prep all four of these launch trailers or whatever they are. And we're going to skim through it just to kind of get a taste of what these games might be. Before looking at it, what's your bet on which of these games looks best?
Fear of the Wolves.
Yeah?
I'm just going by the title that I want the best. I don't know. We'll see. Moose Man sounds awesome,
but I'm not feeling too good about it.
It could go either
way. Just looking at this, I actually think Vertical Strike Endless Challenge is going to be the most
Let's do this. Let's try and guess what these games
are
going to be. Animal Rivals, what do you think that is?
I think Animal Rivals is going to be a like shitty fighting game.
Okay.
Yeah.
With animals fighting each other? All right. What do you think Fear the Wolves is? Now, I got a little bit of a clue because I saw the opening frame there. It says something about Chernobyl.
Fear the Wolves.
My guess is that you're walking through a deserted Chernobyl and fucking the animals have taken over. Maybe the wolves have mutated because of the radiation.
Huh.
Could be radioactive wolves.
Now, Moose Man. What could Moose Man be?
I gotta tell you, I'm lost on that one. That could be anything. That's why I'm so excited about it. That could be anything.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Vertical Strike Endless Challenge sounds like a fun puzzle game.
I'm going to say that my initial feeling of it was like a Pilot Wings kind of thing, but I think because the strike suggests some kind of action.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Let's find out.
All right, let's find out.
We got Animal Rivals.
Animal Rivals is first up. What do you got? Blue Sunset Games. What do you got for us? Let's see who called this.
That loud as shit.
We don't need the audio.
Choose your animal. Okay.
Sloth versus panda. I love it. Oh man.
Oh, man.
Win the tournament and become the king.
Okay, so is it
not crazy about the art style? All right, what are we looking at here? Collect? Is it like a party game? Like a multiplayer?
What?
Platform.
I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, though.
Let's move on.
Yeah, it looks like, for the audio listeners, it kind of looks like a mix between Power Stone, Smash Brothers, and Mario Party.
That's a pass.
But all the not good parts of those games.
Hard pass. Let's move on.
Next up, we got Fear the Wolves.
Okay. Chernobyl died in ages past. See, this is what I was thinking, the Chernobyl kind of vibe. The artifacts of humanity are all that remain. All right.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Wow. Look, first person.
We got a first person game.
So I guess you're in Russia somewhere.
Some
lighting
effects going on.
There's a guy in a parachute that looks like it's
got some holes in
coming
it.
Down.
It
or is that like a loot crate?
Here come the wolves.
Oh, you better fear them.
Yeah, fear those wolves.
You better fear the wolves.
Okay, this looks like a real video game. Shout out to them. You guys did it.
Hold on.
Here's a guy. He's landed.
I just want to see if he's going to go kill the guy.
Do you kill him with the axe? Yeah, kill him. Yeah. Take his shit. That's what you do in a video game. Oh, man. He's got the gas mask on the guy.
This seems like PUBG, but with wolves.
I mean, who doesn't want that?
Okay, cool. This looks decent.
All right.
There's some giraffes. Okay. Next up, Kev, we got the Moose Man. Strapping.
Yeah, the Moose Man I'm very intrigued by.
Moose Man getting a lot of awards.
I will investigate Fear the Wolves based on the 10 seconds that I saw. You said it was a winner for best narrative. Okay. All right. 2D. Okay.
Moose Man looks nothing like I thought it would.
Is that the Moose Man? It is told that he is one of the seven.
This looks awesome.
Yeah.
One of the seven? The old gods or the new
And you can see shadows of the dead.
Scroll a bit more forward.
Wait, this is interesting.
We don't know his path nor his destination, but if our tribe is in dire need,
he's wearing
help.
The skull of a moose.
This looks like it almost has kind of a Limbo inside kind of vibe.
It's Limbo inside mixed with, what was that name? Brothers? Sword and Sorcery?
Sword and Sorcery, Brothers, Tale of Two Sons.
Yeah.
I'm liking this.
Kind of Journey.
I'm intrigued.
I'm getting some Journey vibes. That looks cool.
I'm intrigued.
Wow, Moose Man surprised the hell out of me.
This has already been out on PC. Now it's coming to consoles.
Do you have to block things from hitting your head? Do you think that's what it is?
Maybe.
I mean, it looks very avant-garde. I'm liking it. It got it won an award for best narrative
thing. Interesting. That looks really cool.
Vertical Strike.
Vertical Strike, Endless Challenge. Oh, you were right. It's a plane game.
Is it?
Wipe out endless waves of enemies. Good lord, this is not going to be good.
So this is going to be like an afterburner kind of thing?
Oh, here we go. All right, let's...
All right, so yeah, I'm in what looks like an F-22.
It looks good, though. Decent enough.
You know what? I actually like... I enjoy these kind of games, and I wish there were more of them. Ace Combat?
Yeah.
Is that the franchise?
This looks like a PS2 game, Kevin.
Dude, it does have the Switch.
The Switch could play...
But
way better
you know,
than this.
Ever since FA18,
this looks horrible.
Ever since FA18,
Interceptor. Look at the fire coming out
right,
of the
that's
plane.
Not, it doesn't look
this
visually
looks
great.
Like a yeah, shitty sure. mobile game.
It does. It looks like a PS. It looks like a at best PS3.
Oh man! Wrong, all right. Yeah. Well,
remember that shitty Independence Day game they had on PS2? It kind of looks a little bit like that.
Dude, PS1. It was PS1.
It was PS1.
Remember that shit, Kev? The Independence Day game.
I sure did.
But I like that. I wish we had more. You know, the flight simulator genre. Especially at the hardcore end. That went away completely. There's not much at all left. And I used to play this game called FA-18 Interceptor on the Commodore Amiga, and I loved it. It was fantastic. It was kind of an action flight sim, and those kind of games almost completely went away. I want more Ace Combat. I want more Vertical Strike. I want games like that.
You'll
I want my flight sims.
Ace Combat, it's coming eventually. We've seen it hit like 5 PSXs. New dates for you. In the latest financial report, Ubisoft revealed South Park The Stick of Truth will be released digitally on Switch and the eShop this September.
All right. That's a good game. I enjoyed that.
And a new Digimon game for consoles has been revealed. Digimon Survive, a survival strategy RPG that combines 2D and 3D with lots of genres, coming to PS4 and Switch. It's going to be the first ever Switch Digimon game. It also have choices that will change the story and evolutions. And Agumon is the partner. I saw some screenshots of this. It looks really freaking cool. Like, some of it seems like it's mixing too many genres for my taste, but the battle system is very Fire Emblem-esque, like strategy RPG, and it's all hand-drawn, and it looks exactly like the cartoons. I'm like, all right, you've got my attention.
Yeah.
We'll see if you keep it. Deals of the day, 12 months of Xbox Live Gold for $40 for Microsoft. This is an official deal from Microsoft, so you can go to Microsoft.com and get it there.
You know, the last time I was on with you, I ended up getting that deal of the day, that Switch controller, the Super NES Switch controller, and it's great.
I told you.
It's great.
I packed it in my backpack. Can't wait to get on the plane and play some Octopath Traveler.
Connected right up. Mm-hmm. Feels just like a Super NES controller with the convex concave buttons that I love.
It's perfect.
With the dual sticks, they integrate perfectly into the design.
Yeah.
It's terrific, especially for old school. I was playing, I just downloaded yesterday, Pac-Man Championship Edition, which I love.
So good.
And it worked perfectly. Those kind of games are perfect for an old school controller.
That D-pad is 10 out of 10. Yeah,
they
it's
got
just
it.
Perfect.
They got it exactly right.
It's time for reader mail. This episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Remember when Omaha Steaks fed your daddy for Father's Day? Oh, Greg, God. I think Greg Miller wrote this. Greg, you're a bad man. Now they want to feed your summer barbecue. Why Omaha Steaks? Omaha Steaks offers everything to satisfy your grilling needs. Quality, all the highest quality cuts with one-of-a-kind flavor. All beef is USDA inspected for quality and aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of the cuts. Variety. All of the best cuts of beets, bison from the Golden Plains, globally sourced and frozen fresh seafood from World Port Seafood, poultry, pork, veal, lamb, vegetables, desserts.
This is making me hungry.
Stuff. It's great. Kevin, how much do you love this Omaha Steaks?
Oh, man, it's good stuff.
Yeah?
I got some at home.
Yeah. Do you ever get some free samples of this stuff?
They said
no, we don't, Gary.
Kevin just wants
to eat it
all.
Yeah, he knew what my next question was going
to
be.
He wants to eat it all. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for the summer. Go to omahasteaks.com and type KF Games in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection for only $39.99. That's 80% off.
80% off?
That's a lot of percents, man. Here's what you'll get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breast, 4 all beef Omaha steak burgers. I love those. 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus, and listen up to this, ladies and gentlemen, you can get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for
They're
free.
So good.
And Kevin loves those too. Again, this limited time package is for only $39.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart.
You know, during this part of the show when, you know, Greg, you know, flogs mattresses and underwear and whatever it is that, you know, is sponsoring you guys this week, I usually just stay out of it because I don't want to, you know, unless it's something I really like. Like when you do Puzzle Quest, I'll chip in and say, oh, I love Puzzle Quest.
Exactly.
But I won't endorse anything unless it actually sounds good to me.
Of course.
This sounds pretty good.
Is that in it, Gary?
I mean, it might just because it's lunchtime. Yeah. And I didn't have
If it sounds good for you,
I'm ready to eat.
If it sounds good to you, you'll want to get this offer soon in time for the summer. Go to omahasteaks.com. Yeah, we can. You got to go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar. Grab your friends and family and fire up the grill.
I might do it.
All right. Let's do a couple of reader mails. We're going to have to cut this one a little bit early because we've got a plane to catch. So we'll just do a few of these. Aaron writes in, and let me tell you, I've never met a man whose name is Aaron that is spelt with not one, not two, but 3 A's.
Not all in a row, though.
A-A-R-A-N. It's a lot of A's.
Sounds like an RPG name.
Mm-hmm. Where you
like an NPC that you meet. Like the guy, the vendor outside the town is Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron the vendor A's. With an A.
He says, hey, KFGD crew, this could be nothing, but I've just had an email from Amazon UK saying my order of The Last of Us Part 2 will arrive on the 29th of March, 2019. I wasn't expecting the game until late 2019 at the earliest, but the specific date from Amazon has me wondering if Naughty Dog are further along in development than people think. What are your guys' thoughts? Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Is Last of Us 2 really that far out? I didn't realize. Is it always been 2019?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, definitely. Okay. And it's going to be even farther out than this. This release date, it's totally made up. Right. I saw today someone else hit us up about Death Stranding.
These Amazon emails are meaningless.
And it seems like for some reason, a lot of the PlayStation games today were updated with this March 29th release date. That is not real. I'm sorry to break your hopes and dreams there. Dr. Funder says, what happened to Joy-Con color customization? It feels like last year there was a new Joy-Con color released every month, and now it feels like we haven't seen Nintendo release any new variants at all this year. Just want to see if you guys thought that maybe they were waiting for a big release to bring out more Joy-Con variants. P.S. What happened to Labo? Thanks, guys.
Dead.
What's the next big release you can imagine seeing some new Joy-Cons for? Smash Brothers?
Yes. There's Smash Brothers. Before that, there's Pokemon. Let's go, Pikachu and Eevee.
Pokemon, I can totally see
we're definitely
yellow Joy-Cons or something.
Let's do a Switch XL, you know what I mean?
It's too early for that. But
Switch XL.
But the thing with the Joy-Cons is it is surprising that we haven't seen as much this year, because you're right. Last year, they were like every month there was some new variant.
I really like those lime green ones that they did for Splatoon.
Mm-hmm. And all of them have been great. Like, I love that all of my friends
have
a different combination.
How many variants have there been? I know the green ones for... No, wasn't it ARMS that had the lime green ones?
No, ARMS had the bright yellow.
Bright
like
yellow.
Neon yellow.
And then Splatoon was what, like the yellow and the like the lime green and the purple kind of
green
vibe?
Green and pink.
Green and neon pink. That's right. Hot pink.
And then there were eventually they made it so you can have two pink or two green.
Right.
There's also the Mario was just the red.
Yes, I like that.
The original launch was neon blue and neon red. And then I think that's it so far. That's official.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to buy every Joy-Con that comes out just because I know some people will.
Yeah.
We'll buy everyone that comes out because they got to be the completists.
I'm not buying everyone. But then that's the problem with me is they launched with my perfect blue. So I don't know that I ever need to buy another Joy-Con ever again.
I kind of regret getting the gray ones now. I kind of wish I'd gone with the red and blue.
Yeah.
It's just a bit more colorful. A bit more fun.
See, I got the gray Switch because I knew I wanted the blue. So then I just bought the blue set.
Got it.
Because I was like, I don't want one in one.
Got it.
I'm not a peasant. I'm not a fucking weirdo.
Dude,
I just don't fuck with that red, man.
I'm bummed out because we're in the market for a second Switch at home. Because we love the Switch. We've been thinking about getting a second one. But you can't download the same games onto it.
Yeah,
you can only keep them on one. They got to change that.
They got the family thing coming up with
They got to do it because every other console does it. This is what Nintendo frustrate me so much because they do such great stuff, but then they do boneheady
Nintendo
things like
moves,
this as
man.
Well.
They'll always do it. But I'm hoping beyond hope, and I don't expect this, that we get GameCube Joy-Cons for Smash Brothers.
Oh, actually, that feel like the GameCube handles?
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
If you give me that,
oh, what
bill,
a great idea!
Oh, it'd be so good.
And they would, and they'd slot right into the little, the little holder.
Be great.
But don't you think you'll also see just straight up like GameCube retro controllers come out?
They already announced that.
Okay.
They're putting nothing, but they're wired. So that's my problem. Is you need to plug them into the dock.
Gotta have my WaveBird.
Well, if you can use the WaveBird, but you still need the dock, which needs USB, so you can't use it with just the Switch.
Right.
Life's complicated, man. Let's do one more question.
Let me see if there's one in here that tickles my fancy.
Yeah. Which one you want, Gary?
I'm looking right now. You want to do the Star Wars games?
Yeah, let's do it. Raul6041 says, "What's up, Kinda Funny Crew? My question is about Star Wars games. In my opinion, EA isn't doing a great job managing this huge property, as both Battlefront 1 and 2 were misses, and I feel like there isn't a lot of hype for Respawn's new game. What direction does EA need to go in to get it on the right track, or should Disney intervene? Also, what do you guys think makes a good Star Wars game?"
So I think what they need to do is focus on story, because that's the heart of Star Wars in any medium. All the best Star Wars games, I feel, are the ones that focus on story. Knights of the Old Republic. Even stuff like TIE Fighter had like a great X-Wing, TIE Fighter. They had great stories.
Yeah.
Battlefield, out of the gate, when EA did that deal with Disney, 10 years of Star Wars games, and the very first... I know they had to get it out in a hurry, but the very first thing they did had no story. That, to me, is antithetical to Star Wars. Star Wars is all about story. Even when you have your own little... Like when I was a kid, I used to have the Star Wars figures, the little characters... You kind of make stories with them. You tell yourself your own stories. So story has always been central to Star Wars. If you don't have story, you don't have Star Wars. And so the fact that they came out of the gate with Battlefront 1, no story, complete whiff, complete fucking failure. Battlefront 2, they made more of an effort. Fair play to them. I thought that was a pretty good story. They obviously had a lot of other issues. I actually am pretty excited. I know some shit about the Respawn game that I can't talk about, but I think that's potentially going to be great. But then they fucked up with Amy Hennig's game. That was going to be tremendous, and something went horribly wrong. Who knows what? We'll probably never know. Focus on story. But honestly, I think the fix is in for EA. I think EA fucked up Star Wars games with this 10-year deal that they had. My guess is when their 10 years is over, which I think is 2024, whatever, 2023. Yeah,
that makes sense.
I think 2013 is when they announced the deal. I don't think that their contract will be renewed. I think they'll go with someone else.
The Respawn game, I'm concerned about it. It's still a ways out, so we'll see. But the idea of it, and the idea of where the story takes place, of hunt, like in that time where the Jedi are being hunted, awesome.
Yeah, that's can't a good. I always feel like when you're deciding to tell a Star Wars story, where you are on the timeline is a big deal, because it speaks to a lot to like what's your audience. You know, do you want to go with the JJ verse, you know, the current generation? Do you want to go original trilogy? You want to go prequel? Do you want to go somewhere in between? There's a lot of gaps. There's a lot of, like you said, that area where the Jedi are being hunted, a lot of story potential. So I am excited about the Respawn game.
Very exciting stuff. Also just love talking about Star Wars with you.
It never gets old.
It makes me so happy. Time to squad up. Zach Thompson writes in. He's playing on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Son of Tomp 8264. That's SONOFTHOMP 8264. He says, "Looking to bask in the warmth of the summer twilight event in Monster Hunter World with fellow hunters and searching for guardians to share the glories of raids and escalation protocol in Destiny 2 as we anticipate the Solstice of Heroes event." So if you want to play some Destiny or Monster Hunter with Zach Thompson, hit him up. Son of Tomp 8264. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let us know where we're going on. I don't know, man. We'll see. What day is it? Is the 18th?
It's the 18th today.
Okay. We're not looking too bad. That's good.
What did we get wrong, Tim?
Let's see. Kebab says articles have come out as recently as 5 hours ago saying that Microsoft will not have a conference at this year's Gamescom.
Oh.
So,
all right, cool. So maybe that was the whole section of the show was a waste of time.
TG Burt says, "Not really a you're wrong, more of an update. After going live on the show, Microsoft updated their announcement to remove the all new hardware part.
It now reads new
Xbox One bundles and accessories.
Bundles. There you go. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a PUBG bundle with some skin job."
It's a lot of people
correcting us on that one.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bandpass says, "Hi, Konami does have a AAA game every year, Pro Evolution Soccer." That is true. They do.
I thought we were talking about Konami, not Capcom.
Konami.
Oh, you just said Capcom.
Did I say Capcom?
I think you did.
I heard Konami.
Gary, you're losing it.
We'll go to the tape on that one.
Either way, Konami. I may have had another brain fart.
It wouldn't be soccer. It wouldn't be a Widow Wednesday without me tuning out for 5 seconds and getting something wrong.
A lot of people updating about the thing. Thank you. Zach says, Kevin, TCL models are great. I've had one since Black Friday and love it. Believe Gary.
Yeah. I'd never heard of the brand, but I went to Wirecutter. It's the one they recommend, and Wirecutter usually has good recommendations.
Best Buy has them at like 352, so...
352 for that same model?
No, I'm saying 350 as well.
Final thing of the day, Cash writes in and says, Tim forgot one color of Joy-Cons. The dark blue one's currently only available at the Nintendo of America employee store in Washington.
What's the dark blue one for?
I've never seen these. Interesting. There's a link to a video that he put, but I can't pull that up. Huh. Interesting.
All right, we did okay.
Yeah, we did good. Well, Gary, this was another fun one. It's always a pleasure.
The Omaha steak bit made me hungry. Yeah, I got to seek out some food after this show.
Steaks. We got some really exciting stuff coming tomorrow and Friday. Since all of us are going to be down at Comic-Con and Jared's out, Andrea's with us. It's all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, who's holding the fort?
We got members of the community coming through.
Seriously, best friends?
Best friends. We got Double D himself, Cheeks Jr., who you've seen on Kind of Funny Gamescast last year.
They're going to be here?
Yeah.
Hosting the show?
Hosting the show.
Who's gonna chaperone? Who's going to supervise these guys?
Big Kev Dog.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Cheeks Jr.
Otherwise, they might clear this fucking place out.
And the man, Snowbike Mike. Yeah.
Oh, that switch projector dog you got back there, that'd be gone. That'd be under my coat out the door.
And Snowbike Mike, host of Kind of Funny Prom. Both these are amazing gentlemen. I cannot wait to see them do the show tomorrow and Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Treat
That's
them nice
be fun.
In the chat.
The lunatic's taking over the asylum. I'm going to be excited to watch that.
Until next time. I love you.